Hey everybody, it's Kelly Cooper and welcome to episode 254 of the Life Made to Order podcast. Why understanding the mechanics of manifestation is often not enough. And this is something I've talked about a lot in lots of different ways, you know, that kind of the idea of like the theory versus reality of manifesting. When you think about teachings like LOA, conscious creation, this idea, these teachings are pretty basic. There's really not all that much to them. They're not complicated, and that's good, right? It's basically your beliefs, your thoughts, your feelings, what's happening internally, your outer world will reflect that back to you. That's pretty much the gist of it. And again, it's good that it's that simple. It's not supposed to be complicated. These a lot of spiritual teaching, right at the core, they're very simple ideas. They're not complex. They're not like these multifaceted, you know, all these different steps and hard to figure out. It's easy. It's simple. It's just the implementation of them is where it can get tricky because we have so much conditioning that just runs so deeply contrary to these ideas. And we're very conditioned to think in basically the exact opposite way in pretty much, every respect. So with the teaching, again, like LOA, conscious creation, manifestation, those sorts of ideas, understanding the role of our thoughts, our feelings, our internal world, and how that impacts our external world, understanding that very basic idea, of course, is where it all starts, because that totally flips everything around. It's like, oh, understanding that, we see we have a lot of power to improve our life situation in ways that we might find more desirable. A lot of the problems that we're dealing with now, we realize we don't really have to be dealing with them. We can change things. And that's very empowering information. It's life-changing, just understanding that basic thing, right? That's where it all starts, because that's a core shift in thinking that we need to make, is realizing cause, where level of cause happens. Level of cause is within the mind. Level of cause is not external to us. So again, that just that one piece of information, very important, because it sets the foundation for embracing a radically different thought system. So in a sense, that's real all we really need to understand, because then it's like, oh, okay, so I just have to change my thinking, things I believe now, any limitations in thinking, and I realize these beliefs I have, they're not true. If my mind, you know, what's happening in my mind is will eventually be reflected in my external reality. Any belief I have where I'm assigning level of cause to anything outside of my mind, when I'm telling myself that a future circumstance can't be different based on what's already happened, that's not true, right? We start to see a lot of things we believe. If we accept that idea at least a little bit, we start to see a lot of the things we believe now is like, oh yeah, none of that's really true. So it's really essentially that's all we really need to understand. But again, understanding the mechanics of manifestation, this idea of where level of cause truly lies, changing my thinking, focusing my attention differently, quote unquote, activating vibrations of things that's a match to what I want, all of that. It's like, yeah, that's just knowing all of that for a lot of people. They still find that they're struggling, and then they get upset, they get discouraged, they feel like maybe they're missing something, they're doing something wrong. For some reason, they personally are not capable of applying this teaching, or it won't work for them personally for some reason. And then they get, you know, very upset. And one of the reasons I think that this could be very hard for people emotionally is because when you're not aware of any of this stuff and you have the ego thought system of, you know, where cause and effect is totally upside down and everything's backwards and it has everything kind of wrong, you have these beliefs that while they feel badly, you're kind of resigned to them. You're resigned to the reality that you believe that how things are, and it's just kind of, it sucks, but that's just how it is. But then when you get your hands on these sorts of ideas and these various spiritual teachings and conscious creation and law of attraction and all of that, there is a hope that gets flushed up from somewhere deep inside, maybe that you've kind of squashed down long ago, and that contrast of feelings can be very painful because you think, oh, this is amazing and this is so easy and I'm gonna, oh, maybe I can get the boyfriend, maybe I can improve my finances, maybe I will lose the weight, maybe I can get a better job, maybe this, maybe that, maybe my whole life can just be told. And like there's a very desirable feeling that creates, that hope, a sense of relief that your unwanted circumstances, now some of that heaviness starts to lift. That's a very desirable feeling. That's often what really a lot of what we see as positive emotion. It's really just like a lessening of that heaviness and that sense of relief. It's very palpable. It's very powerful. And that's a lot of times what we're really craving at the deepest level. We just want a relief from these bad feelings. So then these ideas come into our awareness. They come into our orbit and it's like, wow, that's amazing. But then it quote unquote doesn't work. And you do all the things that people tell you to do. And it's again, quote unquote, not working. And again, there's that contrast of feelings that could be very painful because you let yourself hope. You got excited. There was that sense of like lightness, a relief of the heaviness, a relief of the pain. And then it all just kind of comes crashing back in on you. And that's very painful. And a lot of people have shared this with me over the years that they felt like once they discovered these sorts of teachings, in a lot of ways, they felt like it made their life worse. And it made things worse for them. Now, the teaching in and of itself, it's just information. It's just knowledge. It's just things you're reading in a book or hearing someone say. In and of itself, that information has no power. The law of attraction or these different spiritual teachings are not doing anything bad to you, right? But like I said, the experience of getting your hopes up and trying to change and the frustration, like again, that can rustle up a lot of negative emotion that you maybe weren't experiencing before. That contrast of feelings of hope and then it kind of comes crashing down, or feeling like you're failing at something, or getting excited that you're exposed to this new way of thinking that's much more desirable, but then thinking it's all kind of bullshit and it's probably not true and everything actually does suck, right? It feels badly. But the reason people have that experience, again, it's not because the teaching itself has any power to damage you. It's because of the seeming lack of success implementing it. A lot of stuff gets rustled up that lies at the root of all our desires. Anything you want in the external world is always an ego-based desire. That's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just a fact that we need to be aware of. Spirit you doesn't care about this world and what your body looks like or how much you weigh or how much money you have or whether or not you have a boyfriend, what kind of job you have or where you live or how nice your apartment is, right? All of that's ego-based desire. Again, it's not wrong. It's not bad. But we need to recognize that ego-based desire is always coming from a negative place. It's always coming from a place of lack, scarcity, feeling like you're not enough, feeling not good enough. Things right now aren't good enough. There's something missing. I feel really badly about myself. Not having this thing makes me feel this way about myself. I have this story about my singleness or my body or my finances that make me think all these really bad things about myself. And if I manage to manifest that thing, then it means all those things are not true. And I really, really hope these things are not true. So I really, really need to get these things to prove these bad stories, these painful stories about myself, these painful beliefs about myself are not true. And again, so where I was going with that was this, a lot of this stuff starts getting rustled up because at the root of the desire is all this icky stuff that you're looking for the manifestation to fix. And the more you want something, the more you try to get something, the more of that icky stuff that is there, right? And this kind of is one of the first areas of what I'm talking about here, why sometimes understanding the mechanics of manifestation often isn't enough for people. Because this very simple teaching, again, at its core, it's very simple. It's supposed to be simple. It's not complicated. But the theory of it all does not account for the reality of the average person's energy going into this teaching when they uncover this sort of information and they start trying to consciously use this information to change their life. It's not taking into account your probably lack of belief in the teaching. It sounds nice for your play. I don't really know. It sounds good, but I don't really know about that. I'm not really sure. Again, the lack of the root of the desire, it's again an ego-based desire, always without fail. And any external want is ego-based, and ego-based desires are always coming from a negative place emotionally. And there's a lot of emotional negativity that gets in the way of this very simple process. And if we don't deal with that emotional negativity, then we'll probably struggle, which is why anyone even vaguely familiar with my work has probably seen I talk about dealing with your feelings a lot. And there's a reason I talk about that a lot, because it's usually for a lot of people, it's going to be a very important part of the process. And when I talk about this, I always want to stress too, I don't mean getting rid of every shred of negativity within your mind and your emotional state and becoming some like ridiculously happy, not a block, not a care. Like, you know, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking, but what I am saying is, if you have a lot of negativity at the root, which if you probably do, especially if you feel very attached to getting certain things, there's a lot of, like I said, it's kind of proportional. The more badly you want something, the more negative feelings there are that you're looking for this manifestation to fix. So for a lot of people, that's a very important part of the equation that they're either not aware that they have to deal with, because you're taught about you have just have to be positive, and they see these negative feelings as like this bad obstacle. And it's like, no, I got to kind of shove them down as deep as I can, and that's bad for my manifesting. Or they are aware to some degree that they probably need to deal with this, but they don't want to. And that's why people get so obsessed with making this an action-based process that's all about tools and techniques and trying to just get what you want. Because if you manage to do that, then you don't have to worry about your feelings. And like I said before, this isn't about achieving some emotional state, perfect emotional state. It's not like, well, you can only change things in your life if you make these really deep, dramatic transformations in your emotional world. That's not often necessary. If that were the case, most people probably wouldn't have many of the things that we in this world judge as good and desirable, because no one probably has that kind of vibe. So perfection not required. I always like to stress that, so don't worry about it. But there is, you know, for a lot of people, if you have a lot of deeper stuff and you've had a lot of negativity around a subject for a really long time, you're probably going to have to dive into that a little bit. Because again, simply understanding the mechanics of manifestation, you have a lot going on where you can't apply the teaching as simply as it's meant to be applied. For example, right, you hear a lot about just put a desire out there and like don't even give it a second thought. Take inspired action when the mood strikes and you get the nudge and like you're good to go. That's actually true. That's a true thing. You don't really have to do much. But if you have a lot of negativity flowing around that subject matter for years and years, that kind of set it and forget it method that is like, you know, common of the teaching, which again, it's very true, that probably won't work for a lot of people because there's a lot of stuff contradicting that energy. You set that intention, you throw it out there. And if your energy was clean and you're feeling like detached and everything's all good, take your inspired action, you know things will be fine, it'll all work out okay, and you're detached from the how, and you're not trying to control everything, beautiful, right? But that's not the reality for most of us. We're very attached, we think about this thing a lot, and again, once we start trying to consciously manifest it by utilizing these various principles and ideas, we're very plugged into it, we're thinking about it a lot, we're focusing, we're noticing the absence. We're getting all the icky stuff is getting rustled up. And because it's starting to get rustled up, we get even more attached to making the thing happen because we're like, oh, I don't like these feelings. I want to get my stuff, and then they'll go back dormant, and that's what I want, right? So we might need to do a little more work around these specific subjects because we have a lot of deep stuff. And again, just the mechanics of manifestation. Yeah, that's great. That's important to know. But just applying the teaching in its purest form, again, for a lot of people, that probably isn't really an option, at least initially, or at least around certain subjects. Because some people, you might be pretty relaxed about certain things where you're not as attached and you're like, whatever. But then there's other areas where you're very attached. Someone might be like, whatever about money, and it's all good, and they receive money very easily. They don't have a lot of money stuff, but they have a lot of stuff around relationships or vice versa. So if you've been lamenting being single for the last decade, and all you think about is how lonely you are and how terrible it is and how bad you feel about yourself, and you have this whole story about all these things that must be wrong with you because you're single, and then you just are like, yeah, let me throw out into the universe to meet my soulmate by the so I'm engaged by Christmas or something. And then it's like, Yeah, that's, we put it out there, universe, God, spirit got the message. It's, there's power in those intentions for sure. But that intention, that easy breezy intention, it's probably getting counteracted quite a bit in your day-to-day life if all you think about is, I hope I manifest a relationship and I'm so lonely and I feel terrible and what if this person, right? So then you need to do a little bit of work around relationships. You have to explore the attachment. Because when you talk about, right, another thing with, right, mechanics and manifestation, very basic thing, detachment. You got to be detached. That's very true, right? Because being attached, attachment is negative energy. It's bad. It's icky, right? It's like, ugh. So, and the only way to achieve a genuine state of detachment, it's not an action-based thing. A lot of people kind of try the approach of, well, I'm told I need to detach and like not care and not make the desire so precious and important. So I'm going to tell myself that, but that's not how they really feel. It's not something you can tell yourself to do. It's not an action-based process of like, well, do this to detach. Attachment's a detach, like that's a mental state. Like manifestation is not an action, right? It's all mental stuff. So detachment is not an act you do. Detachment's a state of mind. It's a feeling, right? It's a perception. It's the perspective on something where it's like, yeah, whatever. So the only way to achieve a genuine, consistent, lasting, meaningful sort of sense of detachment, that again, a state of mind, it's not an act, something you just do as an action. The only way to do that is exploring your attachment. And that's the only way to achieve detachment. It's like, well, if I feel attached, again, like I said, attachment, if you want something, it's coming from ego. There's probably some degree of attachment there. And the attachment stems from the fact that you believe you need this thing to be happy. You have bad feelings now, and getting that thing, the lack of this thing, your mind, in the opinion of ego mind, is because you don't have this thing. That's its assertion. So then getting it's the only way to feel better. Boom, there's come the right. So naturally, what's going to follow from that? A strong sense of attachment. Because, of course, you're going to feel very attached to things if you think getting them is the only way to be happy. The stakes are very high. It's very important that you get this thing. You're not going to be able to feel, if you really believe that. Detachment, any claims of detachment you feel, if that's what's happening in your mind, it's kind of bullshit, right? It's not real. And you need to make it real. So you need to explore the attachment mechanic, basic mechanics of manifestation. Yeah, you got to feel detached. Great. But in reality, most people don't. So if you feel very attached to something, then there's some energetic emotional interference there. So one part of this, again, like I talked about dealing with feelings, being honest with what's happening inside. You have to think, okay, like, why do I want this thing so bad? Why is it so important to me? Why is it so precious? Why do I feel like I need this? And that might be uncomfortable. And I get it, a lot of people want to avoid this. And again, it's like, this, give me a tool or technique to help me get what I want. And then I won't have to deal with the messy business of my feelings. But if there's a lot of deep stuff around a particular subject matter, it's going to be helpful to kind of clear some of it out. And again, it's not about perfection or rooting out every negative thought or feeling that exists within you, but it is about, getting to a place where you can honestly say, yeah, I've made a little bit of headway on this. Like I've kind of cleared out some of this stuff. A lot of these beliefs I had, I really kind of don't, I'm really starting to see they're really not true. My mind's insisting that I can only be happy if I get married and have two kids. And it's like, I ultimately, yeah, there's still a part of me that's kind of attached to that. But ultimately, more and more, day by day, I'm knowing that that's not true. Day by day, more and more, I'm starting to see that not having the relationship, my business not being where it wants to be, what I look like, where I live, what kind of job I have. Day by day, more and more, I'm starting to see that's not really why I feel the way I feel. It's something deeper. And my mind is just clinging to external things to pin the feelings on. And with that realization, as that realization becomes something and not just something you intellectually appreciate or accept or begrudgingly be like, okay, yeah, fine. But it's something that you're really starting to internalize in a real way, even just a little bit can change things significantly on an emotional level. That's where the detachment comes in. Because the only reason you're so attached is because you believe that these things are responsible for your feelings, that the state of your world and what's happening or not happening externally is why you feel the way you feel, why you feel the bad things you feel now, why you don't feel the good feelings you find desirable. That's the only reason you feel attached. So when you start genuinely internalizing the idea that the external has nothing to do with your feelings, a state of detachment starts to generate, activate in a real genuine way, because the root of the attachment, you're starting to see the story, it's not true. So that's another, you know, that's one of the reasons too, people don't explore the root of their attachment. They remain very attached. This detached state they hear about that they might claim they feel, they don't really feel that way. Again, another way where simply understanding mechanics of manifestation may not be, you know, working so well for us. A lot of people, you know, and I've talked about this a lot before, a lot of us, we have a lot of conflicting energy around a lot of things we consciously claim to want very, very badly. There's a part of us, we don't really want them. And when I say that, sometimes that could mean like you truly don't want it, but for some ego-based reason, you think it's important, like getting a promotion at a job that you actually hate. And you're like, I actually don't want to work here. But then a lot of times the not wanting it is really from a space of the ego human thought system has a lot of beliefs around these subjects that make the desire actually, the prospect of getting it actually be unappealing in some way. There's things you think would be bad about having it. And these conflicts, it's like, okay, we think LOA 101 sort of vibe stuff. If on a deeper level, you're kind of vibing, you're putting it out there like, no, I actually don't want this. Things don't show up in your life when you kind of really actually don't want them. Because you're kind of like, there's a part of you that's like, yeah, consciously, you're like, yeah, I want more money. I want a thriving business with a client list, 6 months long waiting list. I'm so in demand, or I want this, or I want that. I want to lose that weight. I want to heal. And of course, because consciously, right, there's a part of us that we feel pain around this thing. So naturally we think, well, of course I want the opposite of that. But again, on a deeper level, there's a conflict. You know, I uncovered that for me. I uncovered a lot of conflicts I had around money, for example. I would always wonder like, why do I have like these money issues? And I had to go pretty deep. And again, like I said before, it's not about rooting out everything, every shred of negativity. Not everyone, you might not necessarily have super deep stuff around certain subjects in your life. And that's something you can only know for yourself, right? And it's important to engage in honest self-reflection. Like I've always said, conscious creation, conscious creators, spiritual seekers, best friend is brutal, brutal honesty, right? Because whatever's happening inside is what's happening. Whatever you think is what you think. Whatever you feel is what you feel. And trying to pretend otherwise, it's just a huge waste of time. But so that's another thing too. Understanding mechanics and manifestation. Yeah, great. Again, very basic stuff, very important. It's the foundation of everything. But you won't really receive things if there's a part of you that actually doesn't want to receive them. Again, money is a good example, right? For example, a lot of people have the idea that money complicates your life in various ways. It takes a lot of effort to earn money. It's hard to earn money. You probably have to do a lot of stuff you don't want to do to earn money, right? So if we have those sorts of beliefs, right, those are common like ego beliefs around money. That makes having money seem undesirable because you're like, well, I don't really want to work hard for it. I don't want to do a bunch of stuff I don't want to do to if that's what I have, the only way to earn it. It's going to complicate my life in different ways. Like a lot of my family, they don't have a lot of money. And what if they ask me for money? And I grew up in the kind of that blue collar, you know, that kind of stereotype you see like on like movies and stuff, like we might not have a lot of money, but at least we're honest. Like, right, there's that idea, there's that very common trope of like, you know, people with money are like they're bad in some way, they're dishonest, they're not as good people and whatever, right? So there's all the, and a lot of these things might sound, and this is another thing too I want to stress with these conflicts, and I've talked about this a lot before, and this is really, really important. Do not dismiss things that seem cliche, that seem childish, that seem like super like, oh my God, that's so like basic or whatever. Because for most people, it's going to be that stuff. Cliches become cliches for a reason. So don't dismiss your lack of business success as being primarily due to a fear of success. You'd be like, oh my God, that's like so basic. That's so cliche. Like that's so dumb. But for a lot of people, business being successful, there is a lot of fear around it. Again, because with like thinking, you know, money complicates things, or you have to earn a lot, or it's going to take up all of your time, or you're going to have to do all these uncomfortable things, right? So that's another thing too. When if you start, if this idea of conflicting energy is resonating with you with certain, subject areas in your life, certain things, make sure don't dismiss anything because it's cliche, because it sounds childish, because intellectually you understand you shouldn't feel that way because of all of the things you know now from studying all of your spiritual teachers and all of the knowledge you've acquired about these subjects. Don't do that, because whatever is there is there. A lot of stuff it might seem silly, childish. It might seem completely irrational, like it doesn't make any sense. Like I remember for me, a big thing with money was, I always had this feeling that, because that was like one area of my life where I always felt like something wasn't clicking, and I worried about money and all this stuff, right? And I realized one of the things I realized was, because that was primarily the only area for the most, I had like little issues here and there with other stuff, but that was always like my big thing was, there was a part of me that I was afraid that if I resolved that issue and then everything in my life was going smoothly, something bad was going to happen to me. And somehow having the money problem and flowing all my negativity and worry towards that was like keeping me safe from like worse things happening. Now, saying that out loud, and some of you hearing this might be like, and some of you might be able to relate to this. I feel like there's actually kind of a common thing. There's this idea that we believe there's some kind of like balance in the universe or something, and like things can't go too good or else you're going to get like struck down, or if you're not actively worrying about something, that leaves you vulnerable to some attack from like, out of nowhere or something. And again, it's not rational, it's not logical, but I realized that that was a big thing with me. I thought if I resolved my money issues, that something much worse was going to happen to me. And as long as I had an active problem, that could be my problem. If it's a problem I'm familiar with, it's a problem that I'm used to dealing with, I'm used to the shitty feelings around it. So I'll just stick with the devil I know, and I'll stick with my money problems. Because what if that solves and then something much, because that was the thing too. It wasn't just like, I was convinced something much, much worse was going to happen to me. Again, not logical, not rational, but that was a very deep energy I had going on. I was like, what if I'm going to like get cancer, or something bad's going to happen to Ryan, or just something bad is going to happen. And having money and resolving that problem area of my life did not feel safe to me. And eventually and sometimes I still have that idea of like, if things are going, again, I think it's like a common thing a lot of people have. Again, it's not rational, it's not logical, it's just like one of these weird things our mind does. But I was able to work through it enough, and I did see that like that alone, that made a big difference. I saw like different things, like I saw like, once I started resolving that more in like a genuine way, and I was making headway on that, I did see things change with money. So I saw for me personally, that was one of my issues, one of my obstacles. And if I didn't address that, it didn't matter if I knew everything in the world about, again, the mechanics of manifestation and how to manifest money. Because a part of me, a very big part of me, was like, getting more money will be really, really bad for you. Not safe. Alarms going off, danger zone, no, thank you. Like, let's just stick with the money issues, and everything else is kind of going okay, and right? So again, a lot of these conflicts, don't dismiss anything because it seems cliche, irrational, childish, because you intellectually understand you shouldn't feel that way. Again, based on your knowledge of all these teachings, it's like, well, I shouldn't do that. It's like, and again, don't underestimate these kind of, like I've said it before, emotionally speaking, we're kind of basic bitches. And it's good that it's like that. It's good that our major issues are usually these cliche, obvious, kind of not so hard to uncover things. And if your stuff is kind of weirder and more complex and a little more tangled and not so obvious, and it's a major issue that needs to be dealt with, it'll be revealed to you eventually. So don't worry about that. Don't go scouring your mind trying to, gain entryway into the darkest depths of your subconscious mind or whatever, thinking you need to root every little thing out. Like, it's probably a more basic thing, but because it's so basic, you've probably heard about it already and you've kind of thought your intellectual understanding of that alone meant that you dealt with that. And it means that that's probably not the problem because you know about that. It's like, no, not necessarily. It could still be a big thing. For example, a lot of people with their business, you know, they might kind of constrict their energy around it because they're still really worried about what people think about them. So they're uncomfortable producing their content. They're uncomfortable promoting their services. And it kind of, they just kind of shrink around it. And then it's like, oh, I'm struggling because I still care too much about what people think about me. It's like, oh my God, that's so basic. That's like nothing. I know I shouldn't care what people think about me. That's just like the personal growth 101. That's like one of the main things, right? About living your life. You don't care what people think about you. But just because it's an obvious or simple thing, it doesn't mean that you've internalized it. Just because you know something, that's the thing too. We trick ourselves into thinking we learn all these things and we now know all of these things. And we think that that somehow means we're actually doing anything with this information, that we're living it, and that these ideas are actually influencing how we move through the world and informing our choices and our decisions and how we relate to other people, how we react to challenges in our life. No, you can learn, you could be an expert on this stuff and regurgitate everything you've learned very expertly and eloquently. And it doesn't mean that you're living it. It doesn't mean you've internalized it. And that's another aspect of this too, this journey in general, right? We have to be willing to see, like, am I actually doing anything with all of this information that I'm, you know, that I'm learning, right? So that's another thing with mechanics and manifestation. It doesn't matter how well you understand all that if there's a part of you that feels very conflicted about getting what you want. Worthiness and deserving is another big one too, and that can kind of exist on a spectrum. It can exist like an extreme version of like someone has done bad, but they've done bad things to people, or they've done bad things in their life and they're a bad person and they don't deserve happiness and they need to be punished. And then it could be more of like the other end of the spectrum where it's more like that, who am I to have everything I want, or what's so great about me, and tying our worthiness and deserving to what we do when we don't think we've really done anything that exceptional that we deserve these rewards, to be rewarded with money coming in with ease, or rewarded with a relationship or an easy breezy life or whatever, right? So that's another thing too. It doesn't matter how well you understand the mechanics of manifestation if you don't think you deserve the things that you want, that you're not worthy of receiving them. Again, whether because you think you're a bad person and you need these things being withheld from you as some sort of appropriate punishment for your bad deeds in the past, or this idea of just like that more general, what's so special about me? It can't be that easy. I'm not doing, because if we base worthiness and deserving on what we do, that's a very dangerous trap. Number one, it's just not true in general. It's not about that. You know, it's not about what you contribute and then like you deserve these rewards for what you do. But also too, it's dangerous because the way the ego mind works with self-punishment and all these other weird things, you'll never do enough to feel worthy and deserving. No matter what you do, you can do the most extreme things and crazy levels of giving in general, it doesn't matter, hard work, it'll, because in that, the self-punishment, again, all this other stuff, you'll never ever make the bar, whatever bar you set will never, you'll never meet that. It'll always be like, it'll never, no matter what you do, you'll always feel like it's never enough, right? So that's another thing too, is worthiness and deserving is a big one for people. It's like, why do I deserve to work a business that's like something I'm so passionate about and feels so easy for me? I don't even feel like I'm working and just have money flowing in very easily and being successful without putting in any real effort. Why do I deserve something like that? What's that kind of what's so special about me sort of vibe? And then again, too, and if you're someone that's suffering from that kind of deeper extreme of like, you think you don't deserve things because you're actually a bad person, that's not true either. No matter what you've done, I personally don't. And I know people have done some shitty things in life, maybe like as the ego human mind would judge it. But I don't ever think that anyone is beyond redemption or deserves lifelong punishment for anything that they've done. But, you know what I'm saying? But that's another thing too, right? So again, this idea of if you're someone that just understanding the pure mechanics of manifestation don't seem to be bearing any fruit for you. Like, these are a few, you know, different things to think about here. You know, we got to explore attachment. We have to deal with our negative feelings. We have to be more relaxed about the process. Another thing too is, again, the conflicting energy. Another thing too is we need to have some like kind of trust and faith in how things go, and not try to be so controlling about everything. Because that, again, energetically, that closes things off too. If you're very attached to specific channels or specific opportunities or specific people, that can close things off, because energetically there's a constriction there. You're not open. The more specifics you have, the more you kind of close yourself up. The more specifics we have, the more negativity kind of creeps in, because the more moving parts or the more detail we tend to throw in, the more that the doubt and the question, it's like, well, how's all that going to, all five of those things are going to come, how's that, right? So it's about being open, trusting, being open to how things unfold, and not assuming that you know the best way for things to be, or assuming that your path to this, these changes are going to look a certain way. And then if they don't look that way, well, then something has gone wrong. Or if something happens that you don't like, well, something went wrong. That's not supposed to happen. You want to be open to what unfolds. Because something that you can initially judge as a bad thing, an unwanted thing, an obstacle, some sort of sign that things aren't going well or you're doing something wrong, could actually, in the big picture, that was the perfect thing to happen. And that thing happening will play a direct role in like something good happening. But you probably can't see that right away. You can't see the big picture right away. You can't see how something fits into the future, because the future hasn't come yet. Or what we think of as the future, right? So there has to be, so you can't know that right away. But what you can do right away is trust that idea that you shouldn't judge it, and be open to not judging it, right? Like, for example, if you're really attached to getting a particular job, and then you get the interview and then you don't get the job, and you'll think, well, I didn't get what I wanted. Something went wrong. It's like, yeah, maybe that wasn't really the job. Your ego mind, for whatever reason, clung to that specific representation of what you wanted, that particular opportunity. And it thought, well, that's what I want. And according to the law of attraction, I can get whatever I want. So, and then, right. And then again, there's this judgment that because you didn't get what you wanted specifically, or because things didn't go the way you specifically believed they were supposed to go from your limited consciousness and limited mind full of icky energy and limiting beliefs and fears and all this gross stuff. It's like then concluding, well, you know, and then sticking with that idea and then insisting that something's wrong or bad. Again, constriction, you close yourself off. It's trusting that things will unfold. Same thing with relationship. You're trying to, you know, you want a relationship, you want to get married, whatever, put yourself out there, you're dating, whatever. And the first person that comes into your orbit after you start, you know, being more conscious and deliberate about around your energy around this subject and giving it more attention, is maybe it doesn't work out. It seems promising at first, maybe, but then something happens and it doesn't work out, or it's bad from the start, whatever, right? Again, your mind will want to judge, well, something went wrong. I didn't get what I wanted. I started trying to manifest a boyfriend. So the first person that came into ego mind thinks that then that first person, that it should be it. And that's the manifestation. You're done. But it's like that person's obviously serving another purpose, because they're not, they didn't stay around. They didn't stay in your life. And it could be this person rustled up something within you that's very, very important for you to be aware of. And now you get a chance to work on it and kind of purge it out and get it out of your system. Maybe this person served the purpose of giving you greater clarity about what you want in a relationship, because maybe they appear to be everything your ego mind wanted. That thought was desirable, and my ideal match is this kind of person and does this and looks like this and likes this stuff or whatever. But then you get that person, but then it's like not what you thought it would be. And the lesson there could be greater clarity about there are things that you thought were important, but maybe they're not so important. It's a lesson in being open and not insisting you know so well, because you insisted you know so well about the type of person, then you manifested that exact type of person and it wasn't a good match. And you're like, oh, that's you know, that's could be a right. There's a lesson there to be more open and maybe not be so certain about what this person needs to be like and insisting they have to have certain qualities or certain type of job or whatever. Right. So it's just being open. And when I talk about this too, it's not about analyzing every little thing that happens and where it fits into the process. But when it's in areas of your life where there's a lot of stuff there, a lot of attachment, it rustles up a lot of negative emotion. Those are kind of areas where it is helpful to pay more attention maybe to what's happening and then what it's evoking for you, you know, emotionally and belief wise, because there's probably some value there. And, you know, another thing too, right? Mechanics of manifestation. With tools and techniques, and I've talked about this a lot, various tools and techniques, they can have a lot of value because they can evoke positive emotion, they can evoke positive focus in ways that are beneficial, and they can be really helpful. But again, manifestation is not an action-based process. It's all a state of mind. And if you're strictly relying on tools and techniques and doing stuff, a lot of people, they struggle with that. And like, well, I'm doing my affirmations every day, I'm visualizing. And it's like, yeah, in and of itself, those things have no power. They're just actions. And if they're not contributing to a better feeling state, like that's your vibe, right? It's your emotions. It's the emotional, how you're feeling. And again, that's where they can be really powerful. So if you have a tool or technique you really resonate with and it really gets the juices flowing, it really lights you up, you'll probably find doing that, you'll probably see results from, you'll be like, yeah, once I started doing that journaling exercise, I really love it. And, you know, it makes me feel really good. You might start feeling better. You see things start changing. Some of the very specific things you journaled about might happen, like just as you wrote them. Like it's, you know, it's a cool thing. It's kind of an exciting thing to see happen. But if you're just doing tools and techniques in a rote way, there's no emotional resonance, they're not really making you feel better. It's become kind of, because what happens with that too is because we make it an action-oriented process, we have all this emotional stuff we're not dealing with. The tools and techniques are not evoking any positive emotion. It starts to become like an empty ritual, like an empty actions that are not doing anything. Because you think, well, LOM, I'm supposed to affirm and journal and do this and do that and make my vision board. And it's like, yeah, all of that's great if it's actually making you feel better. And tools and techniques, in my experience, they tend to have a lot more pop when we're using them when we're in a better emotional state overall. Because if we're affirming every day about manifesting love or money or some specific thing, getting a new job, but then underneath there's all this icky energy and conflicting energy around what you want, all this deep attachment, everything's so precious, it's so important, the stakes feel so high. The positive energy that these tools are able to evoke are, it's really no match for that other stuff that's been in you for all this time. So I find that for people with tools and techniques, if you feel like that's an important part of your work or that appeals to you because it makes you feel like you're doing something, then it's fine. But it's just understanding that that stuff will probably work a lot better when your energy is in a cleaner space, and it can only get in that cleaner space and you kind of like deal with the shit that's inside. And also too, make sure you're doing things that actually like feel good to you and like actually make you feel better. Because if you're saying affirmations and there's no emotion to them at all and you're just repeating words, whether out loud or just in your head to yourself and thinking, well, I did my affirmation. That's like, you know, it's probably not going to do much for you. So technically those things aren't necessary at all because in and of themselves, they have no power. You can evoke the emotion just by being consciously aware of choosing your thoughts and being open to having your mind changed. But for many people, actually having a way to focus all of that by engaging in a tool or technique is most people are going to find value in that. I find value in them sometimes. They're not things I do on a regular basis, but sometimes when I feel guided, I do find certain tools and techniques are helpful and they do seem to, you know, have some pop energetically. I feel like they are helping me in some way, but they're not something I personally do on a regular basis. Another thing too, with tools and techniques, again, because the purpose of them, they're a tool. They're not in and of itself. They have no power. Because their purpose is to help you feel good, you might find that Sticking with one, you might need to change them up once in a while because if they start losing their juice, losing their pop a little bit, again, it starts to feel rote. It starts to feel more like an empty ritual. Then it's like it's probably not the potential it has to help you. It's you're not going to realize that potential because it's not actually, again, it's not serving its purpose of making you feel better. So that's another thing too with kind of basic LOA, right? It's very much about like it becomes very action, it can become very action focused very quickly and engaging in actions. And if you're spending a lot of time engaging in actions that aren't serving their purpose and not doing what they're supposed to do for you, then yeah, you'll be like, none of this is working. I said affirmations every day for a month and nothing changed. It's like, yeah, the affirmations are just words. They're meant to help you change internally, change your feeling state, change your thinking, you know, condition yourself to a different way of thinking. And if they're not accomplishing that goal. So if you're someone right now that's engaged in a lot of that and it's not feeling good, know that it's okay to stop. You're not giving up on, you're not messing anything up or like, well, I'm not going to get what I want now because I'm not affirming it 50 times a day. It's like, no, it's like if it was feeling good to do it, then yeah. But if it's not, it's okay to maybe take a break, recalibrate, or experiment with a new tool or technique. But again, don't get too caught up in the action of it. Because again, for a lot of people, it's easy for it to just become some kind of empty, emotionless ritual that's really not only is it not giving you any benefit, it also can potentially actually backfire in a way because it makes you more focused. It might rustle up more negativity than you're not doing anything about, and you're like kind of rustling all this stuff up. And then you get even more invested in the tool and technique because you feel bad and you're going to try even harder now. And like, right, it become like an actually backfire. So that's just a little thing I wanted to add, like on this topic about that stuff. And, you know, I've talked about that a lot before. And again, I always want to stress when I talk about that, I'm not knocking those things or saying they have no value or you shouldn't bother with them. I just try to stress to people the role that they play and what they can and can't do for you. And, you know, realizing, you know, it's important to have an understanding of you know their value and understanding what they can again and can and can't do for you. So yeah, that's about it, guys. I hope you found this helpful. And for more content, products, information about my coaching, head on over to livelifemadetoorder.com. And I'm always happy to hear from people. So if you ever want to shoot me a message with any questions or anything on your mind, my email, I'm always happy to get messages again. Kelly with an I, Cooper 1102 @gmail.com. Bye-bye.